Join us each week.
This segment is brought to you by...
And now, this.
From our Art Deco virtual studios, overlooking the Valley of Coolville, it's time to kick the flux capacitor and head back in time to your favorite retro pop culture trivia show. Wait, I know this. Get it, homies.
That's my favorite part of the open. Get it, homies. Myla, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing very well, and as we were discussing before we started recording, I have traded one steel city for another. I am, instead of coming to you from the great state of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, I'm in Hamilton, Ontario this week, visiting family, but I wouldn't miss out on this episode for the world. I am thrilled, Eric. Eric, this is pretty cool.
Yes.
Should we tell the people what they've won?
Yes, let me tell you. Yeah, in the Don Pardo voice. Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun tonight. And first of all, let me tell you, normally I am in Central North Carolina when I do the show. And as Myla said, she's normally in Pittsburgh. Well, both of us have traded locations, Myla, because I am in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, at a great resort that I love called the Blockade Runner. And so I'm looking at the Atlantic Ocean as we speak, and it's just a beautiful sight. So we're all over the place. So we're all over the we're in different countries, for goodness sake, tonight. And let me tell you what's going to be fun about this. First of all, we're talking all things Quantum Leap. I've got to bring you the bad news first. We have been trying to, in fact, I spoke with Dean Stockwell last night. He was going to be one of our guests. And he said he was still on for today, but apparently I just got word, too, through our chat room here that he's not even going to be make the convention this year, apparently, because of his of personal reasons. And so I'm not sure if that's why we can't get in touch with him tonight, but we keep getting an answering machine. So that's the bad news. But the good news is that we have two very special guests, not only a guest that we had planned on, but one that's kind of a guest slash extra co-host, and that is Billy Ingram. I want everybody to welcome Billy Ingram into the room of TVParty.com. He's been a guest of the show. And Billy, how are you tonight?
Hey, Eric, how you doing? Hi, Myla. Great
hey,
to be here.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. This is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Now let's get to the we'll take care of some business first. First of all, folks, as you know, or we hope you know, and if you don't, then you need to know that this is Wait, I Know This, the show where you get the backstage trivia right from the celebrities themselves. And each week, we visit with a star from classic TV, film, or music and try to get the behind-the-scenes trivia delivered through their stories that the celebrities tell us. And this is the type of stuff you just won't get on any old website. And Myla, should we talk about, I guess, the numbers in case you did not get a chance to listen to us live? We need to give you the numbers to log in next week.
Absolutely. All right, here's the deal, folks. What you need to do is dial 724-444-7444. This is, of course, if you're listening to us archive, and then dial our call ID 33219. And then if you're talking to a member, you'll enter your PIN. If not, dial 1 plus the pound key, and that'll let you in so that you can listen. We can unmute you and ask questions. Of course, if you log on to TalkShoe.com at 7 p.m. Eastern, normally during the week, that will be on Sunday nights, of course.
Yes.
You can also log into the chat room and have a chance to ask questions that way. And we've got a lot of guests in here tonight. I know people are really, really excited. And so we're pretty happy because we've got a good fan base tonight. And we were just discussing how the internet has played such a huge
yes.
role in the history of this show that we're going to be talking about.
That's
Eric?
Right. Yeah, and you know, don't forget our website, waitiknowthis.com. You can download any of our previous episodes there if you'd like to. Now, I got to say, Myla, this is, and Billy too, this is news for you. This is the, I think I'm looking at the chat room right now, and I'm absolutely positive this is the highest number of logins that we've had during the show live. Usually we'll get a handful of folks. Most people listen to it after the fact, but we do tape every Sunday night at 7 o'clock East Coast time. So good. We've got a big crowd here. And let's introduce our guest tonight. Our special guest is Deborah Pratt. And for those of you that are big leapers and you were followers of the show Quantum Leap back in 1989 through 93, you'll know Deborah not only as a co-executive producer, but also the voice of Ziggy, among many things that she's done in her career. And Deborah, thanks for taking time out on this Sunday night for us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good evening. Eric, Billy, Myla.
What, you
How are you, Deborah?
Good. I'm very good, thank you. Sitting here on a blustery day in California.
I tell you, somebody just typed in, Deborah, in the chat interface, somebody just typed in Ziggy with about 1,000 exclamation marks. Now, what does this mean? Because he also just typed in quotes, nice legs, doctor.
That was one of Ziggy's lines. I think they had a very unique relationship, Sam Beckett and this computer.
Yeah,
so it's... I wasn't sure whether who was in love with who.
Well, tell us a little bit about this. Since you were in on the executive producer side of the show, let's go back to the beginning. And how did all this get started? And I know Donald Belisario, and this idea was pretty cool.
I think what had happened was I was reading a book called A Short History of Time. And Donald Belisario had wanted to do a time travel show because there was a book that he was trying to buy. And he said, I wonder if we could do an anthology. And I said, well, you know, everybody hates anthologies, and they usually don't do well unless they have consistent characters, reoccurring characters. And I came to this part in the book where it talked about the ability to quantum leap, so that particles could be in one place and instantaneously be in another place. And we started talking about it, and he said, what if, because time and space is limited, what if the person that leapt had to knock out another person and become that person? And I said, but what would even be cooler is if we, the audience, could see the change, but all the people in that time, in that realm, could not. They would see the same person, almost as if your energy kept the same visual in front of you.
Wow.
So then we started to develop, the mythology around it. Children 5 years of age and younger could see the truth. Animals could see the truth. And we went into the network and pitched it to the incomparable Brandon Tartikoff. And he looked at Don and said, okay, tell me that again. And Don pitched it again, and then Brandon said, all right, now tell it to me like I'm my 80-year-old grandmother. And he pitched it again, and he said, this is so unique. This is sounds like so much fun. You could do any story. Let's go for it. And Don went and wrote the pilot. And kind of the rest is history. We came on the air in January of 1989 and ran for almost 5 years. Moved 6 times, and the incredible fans always found us. And we were talking about it right before the show started, the fact that the first time anybody discovered the Leapers was online. A wonderful assistant, Harriet Margolis, came into my office and said, you've got to check this out. There are all these people on after the show talking about the show.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's like the water cooler of the future.
And you know, the amazing thing is, it's like, I remember Quantum Leap, and I'm dating myself a little bit here, as being, you know, kind of on the younger end of the spectrum. It was one of the first shows that I was truly a fan of where I was actually seeking, like, what I would consider a grown-up show, you know, not counting cartoons, where I was actually seeking it out. And I remember one of the things was like, where did it go? It kept moving around. But
Yeah. Exactly,
like, I was not going to give up. I was going to find it. And what's funny is I still remember to this day there was one episode where Sam had to learn to sign, and I still remember the sign for Quantum Leap. Do you remember in sign language? I do. It's like you kind of push out your fingers, and then you do a little leap. And so, I mean, it's an incredible, I mean, it's in one sense, it's a very high concept. And it did, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it survived for quite a number of years. So what do you think it was that kind of transcended the sort of science fiction-y stuff that often turns people off?
Oh, certainly the heart of the story. I mean, once you leapt into the story, once Sam leapt into the episode, it was really him in the lives of the people that he was going to affect. And the stories that we told were just really wonderful, intimate stories of how, you know, one person could make a difference because they knew enough about the future to stop something bad and start something good when he could. He couldn't always do it. But the letters that we got from fans talking about how the show affected their lives were phenomenal.
I think when I go back and look at it now, and before we did this, obviously this last week, I'd go back and watch as many as I can and found a lot of places online, actually, where I can watch some of this. But the interaction between Dean and Scott in my opinion, that it was as important, if not more, but maybe as important as the storylines. And I think that one of the things that you have with this, obviously Dean and Scott did phenomenal jobs. They're both great actors and have done a lot of things before and after. But when you deal with a storyline that is that can be anything, just like you said, you'll never run out of ideas. You can intermix with history a little bit. Got to be careful. You can go into every situation. You know, Sam was a woman. He was a different race. He was everything. And I just think that the writers, you guys and Deborah being one of those, just did a phenomenal job at and had a great topic to work with.
Oh, thank you. And I agree with you. Scott and Dean had a energy between them that was playful and fun. You could tell it on the set. Everybody loved to come to work because it was just a joy to be able to create something new each week. And the beauty of, you know, I think the doctor shows are great and the lawyer shows are great and the, you know, everything else. But we were so unique in the sense that each week it was different. One of the things that I said to Don was the only other show like this when it was being created was the Loretta Young show, where she would kind of twirl out the beginning of each show in these incredible dresses, and then she would be a nurse or a teacher or a housewife. And that to me was the inspiration that really kind of made this unique. And when we came on, there was nothing like it. So to pair us, you know, for lead-ins and lead-outs, there wasn't anything until we left the air. And then there were a lot of shows that really yep. kind of did a quantum leap with it.
Hey, Billy, let me bring in Billy Ingram with TVParty.com. And by the way, for those of you that are new to the show, you've got to check out TVParty.com. It's a phenomenal website where you can find everything you want, honestly, about classic TV and some pretty good interview segments as well. So, Billy, what do you want to talk to Deborah about?
Yeah, Deborah, I wanted to ask, were there any guest stars that you wanted to get but you couldn't? Or did you ever write a script with a certain star in mind that you thought, well, we'll go after this person to play this role?
You know, there were a couple of actors that, well, let me see. I'm trying to think. Oh, gosh, her name just went out of my head. On Desperate Housewives, she was just starting out. Who's the dark-haired woman?
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher was just starting out. She hadn't even done Superman. And I noticed where she was from. She gave a great performance. She was really, really wonderful. We also really looked for people who were new and fresh and a lot of stage background. Melissa Scoff, who cast the first year, really reached out to find real people that you could get behind and fresh faces. Mariska Hargitay is one of the other people. She didn't do a Quantum. She ended up doing our other show, but I think we saw her once. Brad Pitt came in red.
Oh, wow.
For the country stuntman show. And interestingly enough, he didn't want to be there. And everybody says, no, he's going to be a big star. He's just done this movie, Thelma and Louise. And I said, he doesn't want to be here. He wants to go be a movie star. And we went back and forth with whether or not to hire him or not. Because what was really important was the love on that set. And you wanted people who wanted to be there. So, people came to us after the first year wanting to be on the show. A lot of, you know, really established actors.
I was going to say, and that's probably a mark that, you know, you've definitely struck a chord. Not only is it the hot show, but the quality of the writing is good enough that you're attracting, you know, people to say, oh, I want to be on this show.
Yeah, and they were real guest starring roles. I mean, because we weren't an ensemble and we didn't have to service, you know, 12 people, it was Scott and Dean and the guest star.
Oh yeah, that's.
Yeah, what I wanted to know was there any sort of like, because I mean, some of the scenarios, as one of our guests in our chat room typed in, is, you know, there were some quirky and kind of goofy scenarios now and then. Was there ever a time where, especially Scott Bakula, kind of went, "So you want me to be a beauty contestant? Okay," or was he pretty much whatever? Go ahead, I'm game for anything.
He was amazing. He was pretty much game for anything. I think the quirkiest thing we did was when we kind of crossed the line and he leapt into a chimp.
Oh, I remember that.
Wear a diaper.
Oh, good.
But I remember the first time I, you know, kind of popped into his dressing room and said, okay, is this 1961? Have you leapt into this woman? And he kind of looked at me and he says, I'm not an attractive woman.
He did it.
Oh,
he could do anything. And one of the guests typed in earlier, I thought this was very funny, convention coming up. He wanted to know if Warren Littlefield would be there so everybody could throw pies at his face for canceling the show. So that would be nice. But I did want to ask you if, were there ever any plans for, or solid plans for the sixth season that just never came to fruition?
Oh, yeah, absolutely there were.
I would love to. I wish we could have the scripts that you guys wrote for that show or for that season that never got aired.
I don't know that we went down at the end of the season. So I don't know that there were necessarily any. There were scripts in the work. But again, you could do anything. So we had lists of the 97 shows that we did, and then we had lists of possible shows coming up. I mean, I know several shows that I was setting off to write. And there were some pretty fantastic things. You know, so it's a show that has another life, and it has an ongoing life that the convention next weekend, I hope people come out to California. I guess it's, if you go to www.leapback2009.com, all the good stuff is there, and Scott will be there, and...
Now, Deborah, I know for a time you were shopping a Quantum Leap movie to the studios, but I think there's another, like a TV movie for sci-fi that has the Quantum Leap title. Do you know anything about that?
I know that I've had a concept for a while based on, I wrote a trilogy, and in the end episode of the trilogy, Sam met his daughter, and Al told him, she's in the future trying to bring you home. And I'd always kind of put that in place because I wanted to do a feature film. So I had asked I'd asked Don if he wanted to get involved with me, and he said no, he was doing other things. He had other shows on the air. And I started moving forward, and then I guess USA or Sci-Fi, who holds the title with him, went to him and said, look, we'd like to do a series of Sammy Jo, who is the daughter. And I guess it got written, but you know, it wasn't where Sci-Fi wanted to go. And I don't know who wrote it, but, you know, it's a tough show to write, to really understand the mythology, and so it didn't go forward. And then I went back to Universal, and we came very, very close to launching a film based on Sammy Jo that would involve Scott and Dean, because I would never leave them out. But I think Don wants to do the pilot, remake the pilot first, as a feature film. And, you know, that's his privilege. So,
you know, that
I support him.
The technical side of Quantum Leap, when you and I'm sure the leapers really know this even better than I could ever even think about it. But I mean, these fans are, you know, as serious about this show as Trekkies, and they have dissected this. I mean, I know in Star Trek there are. You know, you can actually buy blueprints of the Enterprise or the space, the shuttle, and all that. I mean, and on the flip side of that, for Quantum Leap, I was looking up some questions that someone had asked Don before, Don Bellisario, about this, and said they were asking seriously detailed questions about leaping in time and the time-space continuum and how it could happen. And so they have done their research. I mean, you guys have, as writers, had to be on it. You were like junior scientists.
You know, there's real truth to that, and I'll tell you a funny story. When the show first came on, and we were building momentum and getting reviews, one reviewer was, like, livid and said, they have broken all the rules of time travel.
Where were those written?
And I went, what rules of time travel? So, yeah, we did bend physics a little bit. And,
that's okay.
And, yes,
we loved it.
You did
it.
Have to not only study, you know, the science of what you were writing about, but it was a great look at history through the eyes of a contemporary person.
And you know what I loved about it was the fact that occasionally there were those episodes where you would have this overriding story arc where you thought you knew where it was going, where we were pretty sure we knew why Sam was there. And then all of a sudden at the end, it was like, whoops, you're really here for this. Like, what comes to mind is the one, and I can't remember the overriding arc, but there was this kid that was playing this song, and the song wasn't really working out. And then finally at the end, he's like, hey, buddy, you want to try Peggy Sue? And he's like, oh, that's much better. And then boom, Sam leaves.
And he left into a vet in Texas.
Right.
That's right.
And the pigs were sick. All the time. And he kept singing, Piggy Sue, Piggy Sue, Piggy Sue. We call those kisses with history. And they're very hard to do. But it's some small bump with history. For example, Piggy Sue was one. I wrote one where Sam left, and this was the one with Terry Hatcher, left in and found the girl that left him at the altar. And what had happened was her father went off to Vietnam, never came back. She never reconciled with his death. And he had the opportunity as this professor to take her to say goodbye to her father. And the way that they did it was they had to break in to the Watergate Hotel the night of the Watergate Hotel break-in.
Oh,
and it was their clumsiness that brought attention to what was going on.
You know,
very
small. Go ahead,
very
Milo,
subtle,
I'm sorry.
But very kissed with history.
And those were the really brilliant ones because,
yep.
I mean, and you assume a certain intelligence in your audience, too, to be able to pick up on some of these things, you know? And I was just on the cusp of being old enough to get, you know, the Buddy Holly reference. And now, there's one question. We have one person in our chat room who's very adamant about asking about how the leap effect evolved. And I think what they're asking is, you went from like a fading effect to shooting stars to shooting beams. It was never quite explained. Was that just kind of an evolution of your effects budget, or was there something going on there?
Sure, it was budget related all the way. And I apologize. I want to say Tom, and I can't think of Tom's last name, who designed the leap effect. But it was, you know, it was basically the fact that his particles were shattered in the particleizer. So they wanted to give the illusion that he essentially turned to light and translocated, if that's a real word.
It is now.
Transported. Okay,
it is now, that's right.
Thank you.
Billy, do you have a question?
Yeah, Deborah, I think a lot of people would be really surprised to know that women were just making major inroads in the industry in the mid-80s. And I remember there was a group starting up there called Women in Film that was founded to promote women into significant roles in productions. And I was wondering if you were a part of that wave.
Very much so, in respect that I was probably the first female that I know of co-exec producer.
Yeah.
And so it was a really big deal, and I was a member of Women in Film very early on, and the reason I became a member was they gave me the Lillian Gish Award.
Wow.
That first year, I wrote an episode where Sam leapt into the black chauffeur.
Right.
And won the Lillian Gish Award for writing that year. And have been a huge support because women executives in television are very rare still. I mean, I have such respect for Shonda Rhimes at Grey's Anatomy, but it's really tough to get in. It's still a boys' network.
Wow.
Deborah, somebody wrote, they wanted to know if at the convention you would be reading anything from your book.
From the Vision Quest?
Yeah.
You know, I have this trilogy of books called The Vision Quest. You can come check it out at thevisionquest.com. You have to use the. And that may be happening. I'm there a couple of times. I'm really in support, but I have a surprise. So I'm not going to say what that surprise is, but you can come play with me. I have something else that I'm bringing, but the books will be there, and I'm really looking for the leapers to come in. And the Vision Quest is a science fantasy, you know, set in the not-too-distant future. And it's funny because, if I can say this, I loved the idea that we could look at ourselves from the perspective of living in the future, looking back at the past. So the way that I've really written the Vision Quest is based on all the science and technology that we're creating today, projected into a probable future. Who is it that we are becoming? Alternate species, and the fact that these alternate species, part human, because, you know, the truth is they are genetically splicing human genetics into all kinds of creatures.
Yep, that's right.
And so they, I think they're already here, but their humanity is so new to them, they remember the powers that we've forgotten. So it's really about the re-empowerment of humanity and the other 95% of our brain that we've forgotten about, and the heroes within us and our connection to the universe.
Now, this kind of touches on what some of the folks in the chat room are asking about, which is, you know, is it significant that the show was set a few years in the future from the actual timeline? Does that play into it, or, like, why separate? Like, I think it was, like, what, 6 years in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Why was that significant? Why was that decision made?
I think because we wanted to have room to play with the fact that this technology existed for real, that it could exist. It also gave Jean-Pierre Gagné some great room to do Al's costume.
clearly the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was, again, to give us some latitude of looking back from a God's eye, because it was time, or, you know, we don't know who took over those leaps, time or God or whatever is what they say. So I think it was really to just give us room.
You know, I think the finale was probably one of the best finales I've ever seen. And I know I'm a sci-fi guy, but I was really floored at that. I still go back and will watch that. I actually own that one, and I just think it's one of the best written. I mean, yeah, I was disappointed that when it said Sam never got to go home, but I just thought the way
it was
written.
Aaron, you ruined
perfect.
It for everybody.
Oh, I know.
Nobody here knew the ending.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, well, I was just kidding,
Billy.
I'll
tell you a story. Don wanted him to go home, and I went to him, and I said, I think it's a huge mistake.
Wow.
And he said, what do you mean? I said, because if he goes home, it ends the hope that he's out there ever taking care of us and the chance for us to come back on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
which was probably a larger concern right about that time.
Well, if you think about it, shows like The Fugitive, where they caught the one-armed man, it was the end of the show. And because of it, its life in syndication didn't really do well.
Right.
And you have the opportunity, and I fought hard. I mean, it was a big battle between the two of us in the sense that I think he understood what I was saying. I said, leave this show alive, because hope is, you know, is the key element that somebody can leap into your life and make a difference.
I really wish there could be a feature film. I really wish that had come to fruition with, you know, I think that would have been awesome.
We're not done yet, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Don is here. I'm here. I got that idea. Dad's got a barn.
Well, Deborah,
you know, one of the things that I'm so impressed with too is the fact. I mean, especially, you know, I'm a woman. I'm not in the, you know, the necessarily the creative end of things. I'm more in the newsroom kind of thing. But just the inroads that have been made, and like every time a series, you know, like Quantum Leap happens, you're paving the way for the hope that maybe there'll be some more of these really excellent, you know, higher concept series than just your average reality show. And, you know, do you think that certain incarnations, like, for example, Battlestar Galactica, and for the record, no one is to tell me how that ended, because it's on my DVR, I'm in Canada, final episode, I'm sure everybody in this chat room
Don't
knows
you look at that screen, Myla.
I'm not looking at the screen.
Somebody will type it in.
please don't ruin it for me. But I mean, that's a very high concept show. That do you think that this has leap paved the way for a few others, or do you think that things have really kind of fallen into disrepair despite, you know, the best efforts of, you know, quality writing like Quantum Leap?
Well, I think television is going through an evolution. The internet has made a huge difference, in the, how we view entertainment. I also believe that going back to the first science fiction writers like Jules Verne's, we as science fiction writers have a huge responsibility, and that responsibility is to challenge technology and to challenge the minds of people to say, what if? So when Jules Verne wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth or Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea or First Man on the Moon, everybody went, well, that couldn't happen, but you know what? It did. And when Gene Roddenberry wrote Star Trek, you know, it was another one. They were only on the air like 5 years because they were so unique and so ahead of their time. There was nothing to really put them around, you know, to build a night off of Star Trek. But the fans found them, and they found the heart in the stories and the kinetic connection with the characters. And I think Quantum Leap was the first series in a long, long time to have that heart and to have that story capability where you could take it the next step, so that it's in a lineage of science fiction like Jules Verne's and Star Trek and Star Wars. Those are elements that have moved forward. So you get a show like Battlestar Galactica, which Don, by the way, was executive producer on.
Oh, really?
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. He had, I think that was even before Magnum. He had just come out to California. He had worked on Baba Black Sheep. And the creator, Glenn Larson, brought him in to do the original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, I was a big fan of that one. Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
So, again, I mean, there's, like I said, there's a whole lineage of this kind of science fiction that keeps moving us forward. And you, heroes, teeters on that. We need heroes in our lives, and so I think we need to find our superpowers. I am a complete believer in that, obviously, because of the Vision Quest, which, you know, I wrote before Heroes, but it definitely was about how do we get that back? How do we get our powers back? Because I believe that we are, you know, as I say, Jesus Christ said, do as I do. And he certainly walked on water and manifested matter and all that kind of stuff. Edgar Cayce. And so it's not that humans haven't done it.
Well, two quick things, Deborah, and then we're running out of time. But somebody typed in they wanted to know if your daughter remembered being on Quantum Leap, and what she thought about that. And then the other, I just want to talk with you about what you're up to these days and anything that you would like to plug. But I guess you could tell the guest, what does your daughter remember that apparently? And I didn't know she was in an episode.
She was in an episode I wrote called Another Mother, and she played the 5-year-old who could see the fact that Scott Bakula was that Sam Beckett was Sam Beckett and not her mother, while her older siblings thought she was crazy. And to Dean Stockwell's credit, he came on the set and said to me, why is she here? And I went, what? Well, I just wanted her to see what we do, and I thought it would be fun for her to play this little part. And he said to me, do not take away her childhood. Let her grow up like a normal kid. And then I remembered that he was a child
actor. He's a child actor. That's right.
That's right. And I am so grateful for that because, you know, she hung around with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Those were her buddies and when she was 6 years old. And I allowed her to have a normal childhood. And she's graduating at the end of May from USC. And she has chosen to go back into acting, but on a whole nother level. She's so talented and so good, and it's so funny that you said that because as a gift to her, I had the script bound and the picture of she and Scott.
That's nice.
And that's part of the gift. So she does remember. She absolutely does remember.
And anything you want to talk about, Deborah, before we wrap up here?
Come play with me at the Vision Quest. TheVisionQuest.com. It's a trilogy of books. I'm building the world online. I'm finishing book 3. Hopefully I will be directing a film this fall with Terrence Howard. And I guess if enough people write to the studios for the Sammy Joe motion picture. So we can do Quantum Leap, the motion picture.
Let's do it.
That's how we stayed on the air.
Absolutely. Yep, yeah. All right, Deborah.
And we'll see you next week. For all of those who are coming to Leap Back 2009, I look forward to shaking your hand.
Deborah, thanks so much for taking time. This has just been awesome. I feel like I'm watching the show again, listening to you talk. This is great.
You know what? You gave me a great idea to go watch the episodes, because in a room with the Leapers,
you better know
it. I may have written them, but they know them better than I do.
They'll be asking you.
That's right. Deborah Pratt, ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited that you were part of the show tonight. This has been awesome. So thanks so much, and I guess we'll see you at the convention.
Thank you very much.
All right.
You are mine.
Myla.
Yes.
It is time for What Have We Learned Today?
Yes. What did we learn on the show today? Well, I have a feeling an awful lot of folks in the chat room know a fair bit about Quantum Leap. But for those who didn't know, we learned that Leapers are dedicated fans. We thank you so much for showing up today. And remember, you can always download our previous episodes on WaitIKnowThis.com. Please help our clicks. Also, we learned that Deborah Pratt is on an awesome vision quest, and you can be part of it, too. We learned that Scott Bakula was always happy to play a woman or a chimp or whatever. We learned about kisses with history. We learned that setting things 6 years in the future allowed for script leniency and really great costumes. And we learned that you should write in early and write in often to show your support for Sammy Joe, the motion picture. Eric?
Nicely done. Your virtual fans
thank
love you.
You,
Myla. Yes, very good.
I love them, too.
Hey, Billy, I want to thank Billy Ingram of TVParty.com for being a part of the show. And, Billy, anything new going on at the TV Party?
Yes, I'm working on a new book that I'll tell you about sometime in the future. as for the future, actually, I'm looking forward to a Bloody Mary I'm going to have in a few minutes.
Absolutely. Good man.
That's my next project.
That's the project that I might have to drive home from the beach for, by the way. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Okay, folks. Well, you know what? We've had a great time. This has been a lot of fun. Myla and I both, Billy included, big fans of Quantum Leap. So check out the leapback2009.com if you want to be a part of that. And as always, we will see you next week. Now, remember, it's Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us on the show that brings you the trivia from the stars. Wait, I know this.